Welcome to the ChurchLeaderInsights.com podcast. I'm Nelson Searcy, and I'm your host for this month's podcast, where we're talking about Christmas in October. So hopefully that title has captured your imagination just a bit, and you're wondering, what in the world can Christmas have to do with October? Well, we're going to talk about today, and in particular, we're going to talk about preparing our churches to receive a Christmas offering. And joining me today for this podcast is Roy Mansfield. And many of you first met Roy a couple of months ago when he was just completing 90 days on the Journey staff. And Roy serves as the pastor of spiritual maturity at the Journey Church in New York City, where I serve as lead pastor. And then he also serves as the director of training for Church Leader Insights. And a lot of what we do here is because of Roy's leadership. And so, Roy, we welcome you back to the studio.
Thanks. Great to be here, Nelson.
And so apparently now you've not only survived 90 days on staff, but you're rolling into 180 days on
pretty
staff.
Pretty scary.
Do you feel like an old pro these days?
No, not at all. I'm still figuring it out.
Making it up as we go. That's what we do
Absolutely.
Around here. Putting the changing the tires while we're going down the road at 55 miles an hour. Isn't that the analogy that we use?
That's it.
Well, I'm so glad you're with us today, and you're going to chime in on this podcast that we're talking about. But first, Roy, what's something good that's been going on in your area? Tell the listeners what you've been working on.
Well, actually, one of my areas is over Journey Kids, which is one of the fastest growing ministries at the Journey right now. And we just pulled off our very first Journey Kids block party, but we actually didn't do it on the block.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we cleared out the Manhattan Center where we meet, actually in a record 12 minutes, and we threw everything, bounce houses up, cotton candy. We made a block party right in the space where we met.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Some of you know our story in Manhattan. We rent a ballroom that probably seats about 1,000 people. We turn it over four times on a Sunday, and so on Sunday afternoon, it sits vacant. And so you had this idea to launch this renovation that we just did in our kids' ministry, to kick that off with a block party. And I was actually out of town that day. I missed it. But I understand you've been saving some cotton candy for me.
I have, and it's 2 weeks old now, and you should really it'll melt right in your mouth.
Oh, well.
If you drink sulfuric acid.
Well, no cotton candy for me, because I don't want to get cotton mouth for this podcast, but that's pretty cool. So a lot of good stuff happening in your area.
Now, how about you, Nelson? Anything going on in your life?
Well, some of you know I had, have a baby back earlier this summer, and so he's doing great, 3 months old. I've got pictures here for Roy to see, and those of you that are out there in podcast land, you can just imagine the cutest little guy you've ever seen. His name's Alexander. Feel free to send cash gifts for his college fund.
And I understand everyone was praying fervently he would look like Kelly. Is that right?
Well, I think he got my looks because Kelly still has hers, is how it works.
And now, didn't you have a birthday?
I did have a birthday just recently, as a matter of fact. My birthday is on October 3rd. Every year it's on October 3rd.
Really?
Unlike Easter, it doesn't change.
It's easier to keep track of that way.
Yeah, and you know what we ought to do? Whenever I show up to speak, people always think that I am a different age than I really am. And I've had some people think I'm much younger. I've had some people think that I'm much older. So what we ought to do is do a little contest for this podcast and invite people to email in, how old is Nelson?
Wow.
And maybe you could give a prize to the winners, Roy, like some cotton candy from the kids' party.
Yeah, I've been saving some cotton candy. Yeah. I'll email the cotton candy to them, actually.
So without me telling the age that I am, why don't you send an email? Just send it to Nelson@churchleaderinsights.com. Or if you're ashamed to send it directly to me, you can send it to Roy@churchleaderinsights.com. And how old do you think I am? So we'll see if people can figure that out.
Well, I can feel the anticipation building all across America.
Oh,
right
I'm
now.
Sure there'll be hundreds of thousands of entries.
Oh, yeah.
But speaking of thousands, we have seen a lot of growth in this podcast. And so let me say thanks to those of you who have shared this with a friend. And everything that we do is just word of mouth. And so thanks for telling them about our resources, about our website, about our training events. And we've been on a training season. And so we've been able to meet many of you and to hear good things about the podcast. So we really appreciate it. And this would be a great one to tell a friend as well, because it's a time-limited thing. I think a lot of people need to hear this podcast in October so they can get ready to do a Christmas offering. And that's why we're calling this Christmas in October, because we're preparing in this podcast to do a Christmas offering at the end of the year. And so that's really what we're talking about right now.
Now, Nelson, I mean, why? Why is this? I mean, there's so much going on in Christmas already. Why do another thing, another offering?
Yeah, well, a lot of people are resistant to do Christmas offerings because they think that. They think, well, there's so much going on. We've got outreach events at the mall. We've got, you know, the shoebox thing that we do every year and all these different ministries that we have. Plus, people spend a lot of money at Christmas. So why would we ask people to give to a special offering? And really what we're talking about with this Christmas offering, to define it, we're talking about a special offering that would be given during a set period of time around Christmas that would be over and above what people regularly give. And one of the things that we've learned in working with other churches and coaching networks is that when you do a special offering around Christmas, it doesn't really impact your regular offering. Because what you're actually doing is you're tapping a different pocket, to use some old stewardship language, that people give out of different pockets, and they have their regular church pocket, they have the money they give to their university as a university pocket, they have their people in need pocket. And so what you can tap with a special offering is one of those other pockets that people don't normally use at the church. And so I think it's important that we give people a chance to give sacrificially from time to time in the church. And if you've listened to the stewardship seminar, you know I talk about that there are systematic givers, those who give when they get paid. There are proportional givers, those who give the tithe or give a percentage of their income, and that should be growing as we grow as a Christian. And then we want to, from time to time as church leaders, challenge our people to give sacrificially. Because it's only when they learn to give sacrificially that they can grow. And so a Christmas offering is not just a fundraising opportunity. It's really an opportunity for your people to grow in their faith as we round out the end of 1 year. So I would say it's a great time to do it. And I would say that it's a perfect time to challenge your people to look beyond themselves and not get caught up in the consumeristic mentality that's so strong around Christmas.
So you're saying that not only will it help people develop in their maturity, but you're saying that you can actually take an extra offering and it won't affect your regular giving.
Well, that's true. But Roy, you've heard me say that unless you live in Staten Island, you don't actually take an offering.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And so we never take an offering at the Journey. We always receive an offering. But yeah, I think that if you do a Christmas offering, it's probably not going to hurt your end of the year giving very much. And in fact, it'll actually position you very well for giving next year. And the benefit of that is in this time of the year when it's easy to lose sight of our spiritual growth, we're stretching people to grow. And God sometimes uses giving to grow us, and particularly sacrificial giving.
And so if pastor plans to do an offering like this, I mean, what could they expect?
Yeah, well, that's always the question. How much money can we raise? And the thing with a Christmas offering that's maybe different than a capital campaign or some other type of sacrificial giving is you really want to go past your goal. You want to hit your goal and you want to be able to celebrate that. And there's nothing better than being able to come back in January or early February and just celebrate the fact that you fully funded your Christmas offering and you actually went over and above that. So I think a good conservative estimate that we've worked out when it comes to just practical numbers is that you can generally raise $75 to $100 per adult, not per giving unit, but per adult in your church. So let's say you're a church of about 200 or so, and you want to raise $2,000 for a special Christmas offering. That really should be accomplished fairly easily, and that's the low end. And, you know, I think that some churches can raise as much as $200 to $250 per adult, but you just have to push it a little harder. You have to talk about it more. Last year, we were a church of about 800-900, and we had a goal to raise $150,000 in a Christmas offering. And I talked about it. I took about 5 minutes in each service to talk about it for 4 services. And by the time it was all said and done, we'd actually raised over $175,000. So you can see that's closer to $200 to $250 per person. But conservatively, if you don't do very much to promote it, you should be able to raise $75 to $100. But then if you have a plan like we're going to talk about today, you might be able to raise $200 to $250 over and above. So I think you can raise some pretty significant ministry dollars around Christmas. And so that's just to get you thinking about how God might use it.
Now, you mentioned a plan, Nelson. I mean, how do you go about this?
Yeah, well, you know, we're talking about this in October because we realize that if you're going to make a decision to do a Christmas offering, you can't wait till December 23rd. Now, Roy, that might work well for buying your wife's Christmas present, but
actually, it hasn't worked that well.
Yeah, she told me to mention that this year.
Thank you.
Or, you know, some of us guys who are out there roaming around before the stores close on Christmas Eve, you can't wait to do that with a Christmas offering. This year, I believe Christmas Eve is a Sunday. And that's obviously a big day in many areas of the country. It's a low day in some areas of the country. But I'm really thinking about an offering that would ramp up before then. So I think you could start promoting this offering as early as November. If you've never done a special offering before, you might want to get started the first or second week in November. I think the Sunday before Thanksgiving is the ideal day to kick off this offering. And then instead of just doing it all on one day, like a lot of people do a Christmas offering or a Thanksgiving offering, and it's bring your gift on that one day. Instead of doing that, I would encourage you to allow people to give 3 or 4 Sundays in a row. And so kick it off on one big day. Sometimes what we'll say is on the first day of this offering, bring your first and best gift. But then for people who aren't there that day or for people who want to give later, let it run for 3 or 4 weeks. And so maybe, the second, third week in November, all the way up through the end of the year would be a good time. And you talk about it a lot when it kicks off, and then you say just a little bit about it each week as you gear up. And I think that's a really good process. Another thing related to how to do it is I would provide a special envelope. Roy, in the stewardship seminar, we talk about using the
Envelope that's postage paid that you put right in your program. Right?
Yeah, we talk about the postage paid. So what we do is to keep that postage paid, we just split the inside of that envelope, and half of it is for your regular offering, and the other half graphically is for this Christmas offering. That way they can mail that in as well. And so we use that special envelope, and you introduce that on the day you kick off your offering. And then maybe on that envelope, you could even put the 2 or 3 bullet points of what the offering is going to be for. And so you put that special offering envelope in on that first Sunday that you introduce it. You take time during that service and you explain the cause. And we'll come back to the cause about where does this offering go. But you take time to explain the cause, or more likely the causes. And then you tell them, bring your first and best gift next week or to the kickoff of this or whatever. And then allow people to give for maybe 6 weeks in a row to this offering. And so tell them that, it's tax deductible. Tell them that this will go to the areas that you're giving to. Remind them that it's over and above what they regularly give. Give them this whole speech about the offering, and I think you'll be surprised at what God can do.
Now, do you talk about it in the sermon? Do you just do a quick announcement? I mean, how do you really present it?
Yeah, the week before the offering begins, I've usually tried to work it into the sermon, maybe just as a point. And let's say one of the causes that you're doing is for the poor in your area. So maybe you've matched up with a homeless shelter or some other organization that works with the poor. So that might be a point in your sermon the Sunday before you introduce the offering. So you teach about the Christian responsibility to the poor, and then you say, next Sunday, we're going to kick off a Christmas offering that's going to last for 5 weeks or 6 weeks, whatever it might be. And then you say, bring your first and best gift next week, and 100% of that money will go to these causes. And it could be divided between the poor, between missions, between other things, as we'll talk about. But you preach on that. But then I don't think you have to preach on giving every Sunday. Go ahead and do your normal Christmas message or your Christmas series. We're going to give you a code here at the end of this podcast where you can get our Christmas series, Christmas in Narnia, at a discount. But go ahead and preach your regular Christmas series, but then during the announcement time, or take 2 to 3 minutes in the service and give different testimonies about what the offering is going toward.
Okay. Now, you did mention we're going to talk about what it would go to. I mean, is this things that have to be outside the church, or could it be things that your church is doing? I mean, what are some of the things that would be most effective in a Christmas offering?
Yeah, and really, that's probably where you should start before we get into all this to-do stuff. But most pastors want to know, how much can we raise before what is it for? So what are the causes? What cause could you give for? Well, the easiest thing to do is maybe to take causes that are in next year's budget that are standalone items, pull those out of the budget, and raise money for those at the end of this year. Let me take missions, for example. Most of us give a significant portion of our money to missions. And so let's say next year you're planning to give $4,000 to the start of a new church in some underdeveloped area of the world. So what you might do is you pull that $4,000 out of next year's budget, use the $4,000 that is left in that budget for additional money for local evangelism, and then try to raise $4,000 at the end of this year. And that could be one of your causes. But if you don't have a cause that's large enough, you might have to do multiple causes. So you could say, one cause is going to be mission. Maybe you need to renovate your kids' space like you were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. So you might put $2,000 or $3,000 in there, because that's a heart issue. You might have always wanted to support some poor ministry in your area. And by that, I mean ministry to the poor, a homeless shelter or a food pantry. And so you can put that in the offering. In general, I think it needs to be issues that touch a heart. And so it should be these heart issues so that they can stand over and above the noise of Christmas. And so missions is a heart issue. Children's ministry is a heart issue. Ministries to the poor in the area are heart issues. New churches around the world are heart issues. You're probably not going to be able to, you know, raise money for new chairs or new pews or maybe that new plexiglass podium that you've had your eye on or whatever. And I would strongly discourage you from trying to raise money for salaries, because that's not a one-time expense. It's a yearly expense that just keeps coming back. So pull these issues out, pull these items out of your budget, raise money for them for that one-time gift, and that will allow your budget to expand next year. Roy, does that make sense?
Yeah, it sure does. But let me ask you this. You said, do you, if you don't have a cause big enough, if you do have a cause big enough, I mean, is it good to just raise it for one thing, or should you always have several things?
Yeah, I always debate that question myself. I've never had the guts to raise for just one thing. I've always at least had two or three things, and I don't think that's a divided mind. I have some mentors who are big on raising for a laundry list of causes, and so they'll put 50 different things in their Christmas budget. The fewest I've ever raised money for in this format is for three. And usually it's one or two external things and then one internal idea. And I think, again, it just taps a different heart. And what you can explain to people is 50% of what we raise is going to go to this one big thing. And then the rest is going to be divided, maybe just 10% for this and 40% for that. But let them know what the division is going to be. Rarely is it one third, one third, one third.
Right.
But just be honest about what that is. And that's always good when you're raising money, to be honest.
Yeah, wow, what a thought.
Yeah. Just be honest about what you're using it for and talk in percentages. And then what we'll normally say is anything you give over and above will be divided between these causes and between our budget for next year. So that way, if you do really strike a nerve and you end up raising far above what you expected, you can offset some of next year's budget, even if it was not included in that laundry list.
Okay. I mean, just on the sort of tips to do it well, I know you've done this several times. Are there any specific ideas or tips you could give us that'll help us in going through this process?
Yeah, well, probably the greatest issue on this that we all face is clarity. What is this offering going to be for? Why are we doing this special offering? And pastors are so reluctant to talk about money. I'm reluctant to talk about money. But yet it is part of spiritual growth. And sacrificial giving over and above our regular giving is part of the way God grows us. And if you have some gut check issues on that, I would really recommend the stewardship seminar to you. If you're afraid to do this because you're not modeling the way, you might want to pick up the download Debt-Free Pastor to help you overcome maybe some of the financial issues you are dealing with. But clarity is everything. And so the week before the special offering begins, I would take time to explain. Here's what the 3, 4, 5 things are that we're going to support. Here's the length of time that we're going to receive this offering. And here's what I want to challenge each of you to do, which is give over and above your regular giving. I would usually include some kind of letter campaign with that. I would write all the members in the church, all the regular attenders, give them their envelope a week or 10 days before the first day of the offering, and then have those letters or those packets available at the service when you introduce the offering, because you're trying to communicate clearly what you want. And so clarity is everything. And then I like to create a sense of urgency on the first day. So once again, the language that I've seen be used effective is bring your first and best gift on the kickoff day. So let's say you're doing that the Sunday before Thanksgiving, 2 Sundays before. You say, next week we're doing this. You give the packet, you preach on it. And then next week, everybody brings their first and best gift. And hopefully you would raise 20 to 30, maybe even 50% of the offering on that one day. So that urgency is important. And then create a second urgency at the end of the year. Say, let's hit this goal by the end of the year. Now, I want to come back and say a word about the end of the year, because every time I've done an offering, we've had to expand it beyond the end of the year for some very concrete reasons that I'll talk about. But clarity, urgency, then be very clear to your people in a very authentic way that you plan to give to this offering. I don't think you have to say the amount. It's not the amount that counts. It's equal sacrifice. And so some people can give a lot with little sacrifice. Others can give a little with a lot of sacrifice. So it's not about everybody giving the same amount. It's about everyone sacrificing to give. And so make it very clear that you've prayed with your wife, you've prayed with your family. If you have children that are of the age where they could collect some pennies or dollars or do special projects that fall, that they're all going to get involved to give to this, because there's nothing like an authentic leader who says, I've given. Related to that is you need to get your key staff or your key lay people to give as well. And I would have a talk with them and say, look, guys, I don't care what you give, or ladies, you know, but you need to give something, because they have to open up that that avenue of support. Those are a few things that I think about.
Okay, that's great. And I know I can say personally, I've been involved with these with my family, and really some of the most faith-building experiences we've had as a family, our girls and my wife and I, have been being involved in something like this.
Yeah, it really does grow you. And every year, I think, you know, I'm not going to be able to give as much this year because, you know, end of the year is tough when you're a minister, and any time of the year, I guess, is tough when you're a minister. But I'm like, where am I going to find another whatever to give? And then God always gives me some number that's bigger than I think I can give. And I say, well, God, I was thinking more like $200. And he says, you know, give $1,000 or whatever. But God comes through. And, you know, God sometimes will bless you. And sometimes he does what I've heard Randy Pope talk about, is give you pass-through money. That sometimes money comes your way at Christmas, and if you've already committed that to the offering, you know, you can just pass that right through to the offering. And so I've seen that happen. One of the things that we've had happen when we've done these offerings is at the end of the year, we may be close, but we're not close enough to be able to say with success we're going to hit that offering. And I've always had a few people in our church come and say, I really need to wait to the beginning of next year. And when that happens, I think on the last Sunday of the offering, just announce that. If it doesn't happen, if nobody comes to you and says anything about it, then you obviously can't say this. But if people have been asking to extend it for a few weeks, then I would do that. And we actually have seen 25 to 30% of our offering come in after the beginning of the year, because sometimes people are starting new jobs, or they're moving to an area, or they just need to wait for whatever reason. And so if you hear one or two people say that, announce that you really are encouraging people to give by the end of the year. But if they want to give the first couple of weeks of January, they can. And then what we've done is we've continued to put the offering envelopes in the bulletin in the new year, but not talk about it.
Okay.
So it's just kind of there. And then I try to report that we've hit our offering, you know, by late January, by Martin Luther King weekend, or definitely by early February. And then you'll want to be very diligent to follow up with everybody who gave by sending them a letter, giving them an update on how the money's been used. And you want to send that to them in February. And this would be not a receipt so much as it is you're reporting to those who supported the offering. The other thing I've tried to do in the following year is I would try to get reports from the areas that we supported with our Christmas offering and say, last year when we did our Christmas offering, you may remember we gave this to this new church that's starting in Paris, France. And I just heard today that five people came to Christ in that church or whatever, and share those throughout the year. And that elicits good news, and it makes people feel good about the gift they gave.
Sure.
So, and that also sets you up very well to do next year's Christmas offering too. So those are some tips. I'm sure there's a lot more that we could talk about, but hopefully that'll pique some interest. I would love to hear from our listeners if they're doing a Christmas offering. If they have tips they would like to add to this, they could send them our way at the email we gave earlier. But I would just encourage you to pray and say, God, you know our situation as a church. Do you want us to provide this opportunity for people to give over and above? And so, Roy, is there anything else on your list of things we need to talk about on this podcast?
Just something I've heard you say a lot is that people, especially if you're hesitant to ask your people to give in Christmas, I've heard you say and saw this happen, that the people in your congregation are going to give in Christmas. And they're going to give it somewhere. And what you're doing is you're giving them an opportunity through a Christmas offering to really invest in their local church and what they're doing, instead of giving it, someplace else that they may do other things too. But it's great to give them that opportunity in your church. They're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, I think so. And there's business guys who at the end of the year, they have some money left over. There's people who get blessed in certain ways. There's people who sell homes because they want to sell it in that calendar year. And so sometimes you can see quite a substantial amount of money raised for missions. And sometimes God will use that. If you've only been planning to give just a normal amount of money to missions, God may use a missions offering, a Christmas offering, to stretch you to give even more to missions. Mm-hmm. And that was our case last year. As we had scheduled to support $150,000, we were dividing that between a Journey Kids area. We were dividing that between a benevolence fund that we were starting and through missions. And we had only planned to give about 3/4 of that to missions, but we raised more than that. We actually ended up raising closer to $180,000. So instead of just giving the normal amount, we were actually able to support one other church than we had been expecting to. And I was just with that church the other day, and they've already just been going for about a year. They've already baptized over 50 people.
That's fantastic.
And, we would never have been able to say yes to that opportunity had we not done the offering. And then God said, hey, we want to give you more. But to make it a celebration, make it a win, And trust, if God leads you to do it, that your people will step up. Mm-hmm. And I guess we should say this. Whenever you talk about money, there's always going to be a few naysayers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, here we go again. You know, and just remind them, nobody is forced to give to this.
Right.
You know, you're not making that. But they're going to miss out on the blessing if they don't. Well, that's this month's podcast. And I would ask those of you who are listening to this in the month of October to share this with your friends. Like all of our podcasts, in a month or so, this will rotate over as a download that you have to pay for. But we provide it free at this point so we can get the word out. And I think we're up to about 2,000 listeners a month now. And so it's just a growing group of people who are listening to this podcast. And so we hope what we shared today has been helpful. We hope it's been practical. Feel free to let us know how you've used it, or to guess the age of your host or whatever it might be here, Roy. But as a few follow-ups to this month's podcast, if you haven't planned your Christmas series yet, we have a couple on our website. One is called The Grinch, and God has blessed that. That's based on the verses in the Bible about peace, and it's about enlarging my heart. And so it works well with Christmas offering, as you talk about expanding your heart, but you remember the Grinch's problem was his heart was too small. So that's been a great series that we've seen God bless, and you might want to pick that up. Another one, our newest Christmas series, is one we did last year called Christmas in Narnia. And the Narnia DVD is out now, so it works well as you have your families in the church watch that. You teach about it on Sunday. That normally sells, I just found out, sells for $43. But I would like to give you a coupon code to get that for $10 off, so you can get it for just a little over $30. So go ahead and put that in your cart, and then add this code, Narnia35. And so Narnia35. And Roy, I see you perk up. That 35 is a hint. About something we talked about earlier. So Narnia35 is the code to get $10 off Christmas in Narnia. Might also take a look at Stewardship Seminar and Debt-Free Pastor for more just about maintaining a culture of giving in your church. Well, I wish you all the best with the Christmas offering. And Roy, I'll just say to you, happy early Merry Christmas or something like that.
Well, thank you. That's really thoughtful, Nelson. And I just want to say to those of you who are really struggling with figuring out Nelson's age, just a hint, he's less than 85.
Less than 85. That is correct. Thanks for that hint. Yeah. Well, we'll see you back here next time for the ChurchLeaderInsights.com podcast.